Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Brad and Body Podcast. Hello, Bottomed. How are you, my friend?
I'm extraordinarily well, thank you, Bradley, and very excited by what's been going on in the world of basketball now that we're down to the playoffs. And yes, we're going to be talking to the captain of one of the playoff teams, so I'll let you do the intro because I want to get straight into it.
Super pumped to have this man. He's a Sydney boy born in 1988, and he grew up playing for the Hills Hornets basketball, the Mighty Hills. Between 2005 and 7, he attended the Australian Institute of Sport in Canberra, and then he was playing in the SEABL program. In 2007, he moved to the United States to play college basketball for Vanderbilt University. He was named the South Padre Invitational All-Tournament Team after averaging 16 and 4 rebounds per game. He finished career in Vanderbilt as the Commodores' all-time leader in free throws made and block shots per game. He then played for the Chicago Bulls at the 2010 NBA Summer League in Las Vegas and went on to forge an amazing career in Europe, spending time in Turkey, Spain, Germany, and all over the place. It was in 2013 that he came home and played for his hometown, the mighty Sydney Kings. And for that NBL season, he led the league in rebounds and blocks. He scored 13 points per game, and he also earned selection in the All-NBL first team. After a short stint back in Spain, he returned in 15-16, signing with the mighty Illawarra Hawks. And during his time, he has made 3 All-NBL first teams to show how great he was. He's currently the team captain, who are bound for semi-final against the Sydney Kings this week. And, of course, it is my pleasure to introduce AJ Ogilvie. Thank you, mate. Great to have you.
Glad to be here. Thank you guys so much for having me.
It's an extraordinary story. And before we go back and take you through it, AJ, is there any mixed emotions going into this? Do you still have any love for Sydney but from the old days? Or is it like, nah, we're out there to whip them in two if we can?
It's funny. I was having a bit of a conversation with my family the other day. I obviously grew up going to a lot of Sydney games, but West Sydney was around when I was watching basketball growing up. So I was a West Sydney fan originally, and then, good, of course, a Sydney fan also. But, Wollongong's been home for so long now that, all my passion's in one place for sure.
Well, that means he officially hated Sydney Kings. He went for the West Sydney Razorbacks. They hate us.
Man after my own heart.
Yeah, absolutely. AJ, I want to take you back, and we ask everyone that comes on the show this, and I'm just so intrigued. When was it basketball for you? Obviously born in the late 80s and you played at Hills, which I've played many times. Was it always basketball? Were you always tall? Was it always going down that way, or was it other sports to start with?
It was always basketball. I think I like, you know, a lot of Aussie kids, I played everything, you know, soccer, tennis, cricket, AFL, gave everything a crack. But, you know, basketball, I was always playing basketball at the same time. And, you know, everything else kind of fell away and just stuck with basketball. I was always very tall, so that, you know, that helped. But my brother, older brother, and I watched a lot of basketball when I was young. And I think it just kind of, yeah, formed a pattern in my head and just loved it ever since.
So you just got the one sibling, or are there others in your family?
I've got two brothers and a sister, but my brother's 11 years older than I am. So, you know, especially, you know, when I was young, you know, the Jordan era was flying. So we used to watch those games together.
Yeah. Oh, well, if you're watching that, then you fall in love with basketball because that was a tremendous era. So obviously you're going to be playing New South Wales State. And is that how you get spotted for the AIS?
Yeah, obviously the All-Australian camps are held down at the Institute of Sport, so spotted there. But, yeah, mainly through, you know, making state teams in the ITC program in New South Wales, the AIS would come up and scout people from there. Ended up just going down basically to a trial camp down at the Institute of Sport when I was in Year 10. And, yeah, they offered me a spot to go down the following year. So, yeah, it was at all happened very quickly, to be honest, because I thought that I'd probably go in conversations with, you know, Marty Clark, who was the coach there, would go the year after for year 12, right, because I was the right age group for that junior world championships. But yeah, just all happened very quickly.
So when you went there, can you remember who, or obviously you will, but some of the other people that were there at the time that you were there?
Yeah, so I was, Paddy Mills and I went in together.
There you go. Like that's a good one. Good start.
Yeah, the younger guys. But
Sorry, guys. Who's he?
You idiot.
Keep going.
But then like the older guys that were there, were, you know, like Bainsey, Nate Jawa, Joe Ingles, Way,
good group.
Brad Hill was there, Ben Allen, Gibbo. There was quite a variety of guys there.
Well, let me jump in there. I just want to ask, because we've had Gibbo on this and a couple of others. Some people either love the Institute, grows them, learns how to cook, you know, and I talk off the court, right? You know, learns how to cook, learns how to clean. Others like, oh, my God, I hate it. I couldn't wait to get out. How was your experience down there?
Probably a mixture. To start off with, it was hard, you know, being young, living away from family. My family's very tight-knit too, but it definitely helped being, you know, up from Sydney, 3 hours away. So mum and dad, you come down or I'd go up to Sydney a little bit. But I think my first year was hard. After that, it just got easier. I think it's just one of those things that once you get in the habit of the training and the school and, you know, the recovery and kind of being in charge of your own schedule, that for me, it worked really well. I'm very focused on time management. So for me, being able to, someone tell me you need to be here, here and here at this time was very easy for me. So
yeah, that's good. And was it Marty Clark then? Was that, am I
right? Yeah,
right.
Marty was it.
So let's now fast track and go to Vanderbilt. Did that come via the Institute? Was Marty part of that or completely separate?
He was part of it, definitely. I think we were kind of that second group of Aussies that went over that kind of followed on from, you know, like Bogut and Aaron Bruce and those guys going over and doing so well in college that we had, like, we'd have 20 or 30 coaches at the AIS recruiting players. So, it was definitely a breeding ground for college coaches at that point. And then, you know, most of them just end up going to St. Mary's anyway.
That was a funny thing, isn't it? There's about like 30 Aussies that went to St. Mary's. Like,
yeah, I took a visit to St. Mary's. Yeah, it was, I mean, it was...
Were you offered there?
I think, yeah. I'm sorry?
You were offered there, sorry, you said?
Yeah. I took a visit there. I think who was there at that stage? It was, Ben Allen was there.
Was Paddy already there?
I'm sorry?
Was no, Paddy already there?
Paddy would have gone over the same time as I did. So.
Okay, so Kick It?
Yeah. Kick It had already left, I think, when I took my visit, yeah.
Yeah, that would be Barlow just before Barlow's long gone out of there. But then, fantastic times. Did you enjoy your time in that college?
Yeah, I did. You know, I think my third year was a little bit harder than the previous 2 years, and it was kind of greedy on me a little bit. So, yeah, I just decided that it was time for me to go try something different.
Yeah, I remember there was this. My first exposure to you was I was reading some sort of article where a lot of prominent Australian or young Australian players were asked what their favourite moment was from the past year, and you were the only person that said, I don't know if you can remember this, and you might say, no, that wasn't me. You're insane, but you're the only person that said that you thought that the Opals winning the 2006 gold medal was the best thing that happened in basketball. Do you remember that? Because when I read that, I thought this guy gets it. He's not just about, he understands the sport for both sexes. This is great. So good. I'm glad.
I think that's something that was always instilled in me as a young person. You know that watching men's basketball and watching women's basketball is the same thing. You know, watching that era of the Opals where they were just so dominant. You know, and Lauren Jackson and Penny Taylor and all those girls was absolutely phenomenal.
You know, I'm glad you said it because I remember when, and I'm probably the era before that, but I remember going down before I joined the Kings. I was watching the Kings and I'd go down and watch the Flames play, and it was Timsey, it was Robin Maher, it was Shelley Gorman. Yep. I used to get there like an hour early because I wanted to watch them because they played pure basketball. It was just fun to watch. So I completely agree. Okay. So
Hang on a second. AJ, that was Brad bullshitting. He just liked body suits and women in body suits. That's all that was about. He's a dirty little perv. All right. Let's move right on.
And just in case you're wondering, I didn't complain or argue with that statement at all, buddy. Moving on, AJ, you went, obviously, talk to me now, you finished college and then obviously a lot of windows opened for you. I am right saying you went to the Summer League. How did that come about? And then where did it go getting time? I think you said, you know, Europe and everything. So talk to me about that.
Yeah, I did all the, you know, the NBA workouts before the draft. Did something like 12 or 13 workouts over a month period or 6 week period. It was, crazy flying all around the States and then coming back to, I was based in LA. My agency had set up like a training facility there. So training there in between and flying out to do workouts, it was super hectic. Ended up not getting drafted. So then had a few options of where to go and play summer league with. But ended up choosing to go to Chicago, which, you know, in hindsight wasn't the best decision. They ended up bringing a bunch of their G League guys to come and play, which then pushed me down the roster, and I, you know, barely got any time in the actual summer league, which was, you know, a little bit frustrating. But I had got an offer to go play over in Turkey, thanks to in large part Brad Newley, who played at the club the year before, and told.
Oh
them
wow.
That, okay. Yeah, told them that I was a great player coming out of college and that they should look at recruiting me. So, actually, I ended up leaving summer league early because I was sitting on the end of the bench not doing anything. And so, took up the offer to go play in Turkey.
How different was that, like, in terms of, I'm assuming if you're playing in Turkey that you're everybody around you or the vast overwhelming majority are Turkish. So how's the language? What kind of barrier was that? Were you able to communicate with the coach? Did they have an interpreter? How did that go for you?
In terms of like culture shock, it wasn't as bad as some of the other experiences people had, because I was in the middle of Istanbul in a pretty nice area. Right. So people kind of spoke a little bit of English or enough to get by. The coaches all spoke English. I actually had two head coaches in my time there. The first coach spoke in Turkish, and then we had an assistant coach translate, and the second coach spoke English, which was obviously much easier. In terms of people that end up, in backwoods of Russia or, Latvia or something like that, their first year out of college where it's quite tough. I was very lucky, there was a lot of Americanized stores there and it was fairly easy to get around. I didn't know a whole lot about Turkey or Istanbul before I went there, but yeah, definitely took the opportunity to learn as much as I could and do as much sightseeing as possible, because it was an incredible place to live.
So next, after Turkey, what happened after that?
I went to Valencia in Spain, and we had a pretty successful year there. We lost in the grand final of Euro Cup to Matt Nielsen's Kimki team.
Wow.
It was the tournament was being hosted by Kimki, so it was a little bit of home cooking, I think. But
yep.
Yeah, and then we lost in the semi-final to Barcelona of the Spanish League to Barcelona, who ended up winning it, so...
I do want to go on to coming back to Australia, but can I just ask, what was it like that, career tournament over in Europe compared to the NBL, even when you came back and now? Was it harder? Was it easier? How did you find it?
A very different style. Obviously everyone talks about how different the Australian style is to the European style. Playing in those, the European leagues, Euro Cup or Euro League, is tough. All the teams are good. There's no really run over teams. Which I think is like a similar level to the NBL, right? There's no team that you're going to go out and beat by 40 every night, which sometimes happens in the domestic leagues. In Turkey, there's 18 teams in the league. So, the first team will blow the 18th team out of the water every time. So just the disparity in the level of players and also the facilities is quite vast in some of those leagues.
So you finished up now in Europe. Was it a situation where it's like, I just want to go home now, it's been long enough? Or was it, I've got this offer and yeah, let's take that one? How did that go?
My third year overseas, I ended up in Germany on a team that had, so the German league allowed 6 American imports and our team had 7. So I was not playing at all in the German league. So I was just kind of sitting, I'd go and work out before the game and then sit behind the bench and watch the team play, which was, super, super frustrating for a competitor. Towards the end of the season, things changed and I started playing. But, it was partway through the season where I got the offer to come play in Sydney and get on the court and, play basketball, which is kind of what I had been missing. So, that took that opportunity and ran with it.
Was that always something you wanted, being, Sydney boy, or was it just, that's an offer and I'm fine?
It was always something I thought about, definitely coming back to the NBL to play at some point. I had never thought, I'll do this at this point, no matter what, but it was just, the opportunity was perfect at that time, yeah.
Yeah, even though it was the Kings, which, must have been disappointing, that where were the Razorbacks when you needed them?
Anyway. Yeah, I mean, I say I was a West Sydney fan, but, you know, I spent a lot of time at Sydney King games too, you know, and watched Flames games as well. And, you know, those double headers were always great. Yeah, I mean, obviously supported both teams because, you know, getting basketball in when you're young was a great way to entertain my brother and I. So
absolutely. You just got to just think positive. It could have been Adelaide and you would have been with Boddy. So don't think there's always positive, mate. There's always positiveness.
Don't be like that. That's cruel. Now, so when you went to play for the Hawks, what was the lure there? Was that Rob Beveridge? Was he part of the attraction of going there? Yep.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think Brad touched on it earlier, but I'd gone back overseas and actually had like a foot injury. So ended up coming back to Australia to rehab it, and then was talking to a few different NBL teams. And then, an offer kind of fell through, and then Bevo got the job at Wollongong, called me and said, "Hey, mate, what's going on? Are you still looking to play?" Said, "Yep." Came down and saw the physio, make sure my foot injury wasn't going to, you know, preclude me from playing. And, had a deal by the end of the week, more or less.
Amazing. Now, you've been awesome at Illawarra, as simple as that. Now, I've commentated so many games with you involved, and I always say the same thing. You're one of those guys that can just turn games in an instant, block shots, run the lane, shoot, and do all of those things. When do you know, like, when you're trying to prepare for a game, what do you focus on? Do you focus on, I've got to do defense, slide? Where do you go? Because you're the best on-ball screen defender I've seen in the league.
Yeah, I think trying to get myself involved on the defensive end and rebounding, and that I feel like that if you get yourself involved that way, then the offense will come. You know, whether it's getting a steal and being able to go get an easy layup, or it's, you know, getting a stop and being able to create energy for your team to score some easy buckets. I feel like if you're active and, you know, aggressive on the defensive end, then the offensive end will come.
Yep. All right. So your role's changed this year. You're the captain, but you're not playing as much. You're more like the elder statesman now. Was that a role that you were sort of happy to take on, be the locker room influence?
I don't think it was a role that I was happy to take on. I don't think anyone would say they're happy sitting on the bench. You know, obviously I'm super aware of how talented our team is, you know. We've got so many great big guys that realistically, like, the best option for me is to not play because the guys in front of me are so good. Obviously, as a competitive basketball player my entire life, I want to be on the court trying to change the game. But now I know that the best thing I can do for my team is be positive, be a great influence, you know, help Gorge channel these guys and the talent that we have towards being a great basketball team. So I really shifted my focus from, you know, being out there trying to impact games to impacting it through the guys on the bench and being a positive influence that way.
Yeah, the locker room guy. Like that's very important. Exactly. I'm looking at your results against Sydney this season. You've played them four times. You've beaten them three. The only one you lost was in overtime. So I'm not talking about having overconfidence, but I think you'd probably be feeling reasonably strong in your ability to get through and get onto the grand final series, wouldn't you? Yeah, I mean, you'd have to be, surely.
Same thing though, you know, anything happening in semi-final, I don't think we've played Sydney at full strength yet. So it seems like they've had a few injuries each time we've played them, and we're aware of that. But I think it is a team that we match up better with than some of the other teams in the league. I think we're confident, but, you know, never, you know, count your chickens before they hatch sort of thing.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I just want to ask, are you contracted for next year?
I am not, no.
Right, okay. So all the kids listening, what you just heard AJ say, because AJ, I'm not just saying this because you're on here with us. Boddy and I have said a number of times this year to have a quality player of you not playing is probably wrong because you're good enough to play. There's no question about that. But to hear your attitude, that must be contagious and something that your teammates must just be loving.
You probably have to ask them. I can't tell you, what they're thinking, but I've definitely tried to be a positive influence and a great locker room guy because we need it. I mean, there was a while. I mean, we're talking about how good the team's playing now and we're a semi-finals team. We're looking down, potentially going to a grand final. But there was a time there where I think everyone wrote us off. It was staring down the barrel of a long season, you know. I think there was a point where we had to either flip the switch or, you know, throw the towel in, and we flipped the switch. So that was really where I focused on making sure that this wasn't a wasted year, because I've been on teams where you look back and you kind of think, you know, oh man, if we just had done this, done that, and if we had won this game and not dropped it, then we could have been a semi-finals team. And I think this team deserves a chance to play in the semi-finals.
You know, when you had that slump, I remember Brad and I were talking and we were saying that it seemed to be a little bit of a prolonged slump there where people seemed to lose their identity and what their role was for a little while, and you're just a bit off the rails. And we were talking, saying that this might be Brian Gorgian's biggest coaching challenge, was to get everybody back on the same page and to now get yourselves to second place. Was there a team meeting? Was there anything specific that happened, or did you just go, let's just work our butts off, work our way through it, or was there something? Some sort of, let's sit down and thrash it out and see if we can go forward together?
There was a number of team meetings, a number of practices where Gorge coached very hard. You know, I think he really did just have to get us in a position where we're able to succeed. You know, it's one of those things where you've got so much talent that it's kind of getting in the way of success. So just trying to define guys' roles and put them in a position where we'll succeed as a group. And once we felt like once we found that, it's like, oh, okay, this is what we need to do, and we were off and running. But there was quite a number of team meetings and video sessions and practices where we were, you know, just had to struggle it out, basically.
I love hearing that. Now, in very important news before we finish, I think I'm right with this, and then we'll get to what we normally do. Am I right? You have a dual citizenship for Australia and Ireland.
Yeah, I am.
So talk to me where that came from.
My grandfather came over on a boat from Ireland. So when I was playing over in Europe, I got my dual citizenship so I could play as a local in some countries. So I know, really? Like in Spain, the rule is you're only allowed a certain amount of players outside of Europe. So I was able to play as a European.
Wow.
Were the Irish a bit pissy with you at the Commonwealth Games that you didn't put your hand up?
Nah, I don't know. To be honest, I don't even think they know.
Oh, it's a first here at the Brad and Bonnie podcast.
Good one. Well, normally we wrap our interviews up with word association, AJ. We're just going to throw some names at you and looking for you to sort of throw back whatever the first thing that pops into your mind, whether it's a word, whether it's a sentence, whether it's an anecdote. I'm going to fire off the first one.
Let's go.
Are you ready? LaMelo Ball.
Fans, just the amount of attention he brought to our league was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Rob Bevo Beveridge, mate, is my one.
Coach, just the way he got us all playing together and the atmosphere he created was great.
Yeah, it's great.
Oscar Foreman.
Shooter. No, I don't think you can say anything for Oscar apart from shooter. If you said anything else when that was the first thing that came to your mind apart from shooter, then he'd be lying.
Oh, mate, I love this. All right, I'm going to throw another one at you, and this will be interesting. Timmy Conrad.
Oh, yeah, I guess the first thing I think of is three-point shooter too, right?
But maybe, yes.
Maybe diet as well, because Timmy's super strict on his diet and very tight that way. So if I have to not say shooter after Oscar, then it's diet.
Okay, I've got Brian Gorgian.
Master coach.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, nice. Uh-huh. Now, I'm going to say, I put this down. Did you play with Ben Madgen?
Yeah, at Sydney.
That's right. Good. Okay, yep. Talk to me. Ben Madgen, match.
That was the year he was coming off that ankle injury from Boomers camp. And it was kind of like, oh, you know, he might be back by the end of the year, and then just absolutely killed his rehab back like mid-season. So
yeah,
I guess a warrior is my thing for him. He just, coming back from an ankle injury like that, been able to help us out during the season was unbelievable.
Warrior, like that.
Yeah.
Fantastic. He's now the CEO as well as the Sydney Comets, and he's absolutely killing it there. So it's great to see him back, getting back to basketball. AJ,
a better guy there.
Yeah, I agree with you. AJ, you've got a huge week. We couldn't thank you enough for being on. You are a pillar of the NBL. Like I said, all NBL teams, you've been a dynamite all around the world. Thank you so much for coming on. We wish you all the absolute best. And yes, I mean that as the Sydney Kings, man. We wish you the absolute best.
Look, if he doesn't, I certainly mean it. I would love to see an Illawarra Tasmania grand final, to be honest.
Yes,
that would be the best.
Okay, Brad, I'll see you in your Hawks jersey Friday night then, yeah?
No problems. I'm a Hawkhead if we win.
We love to hear it. All right, thank you guys for having me.
Body, the Perth Wildcats. 35 years straight. See ya. They're done.
Yeah.
What an amazing end.
Yes, all good things come to an end. And you can't say they didn't fight it out. They fought it out. You know, if you're losing in overtime, you're still having a crack. But I just, there were moments in the game where I just sensed they didn't have the requisite urgency. You know, I just thought, oh, come on, you've got to be going a little bit harder than that. But anyway, yeah, when they lost to Illawarra to start the round, that opened the door for Tasmania. And they didn't just poke their head around the corner. They just kicked the door open and said, Melbourne United, bugger off. You know, and I know people will say, well, you know, where was Jack White? Where was Matthew Dellavedova? Where was David Barlow from the United team? However, all those guys played when Tasmania beat them in Melbourne earlier in the season. So careful what you wish for.
I'm going to come back to that Melbourne game, but I just want to ask you about Perth. And this is a hard thing because I am Bryce Cotton's number one fan, as many other people are. 9 of 25 from the field, 2 of 14 from the 3-point line, 28 points, but 8 of those from the free throw. Did he fail to deliver for the first time in his career?
No, quite the opposite. Everything, Brad. He had to do everything. He was, because nobody else was stepping up.
All right.
Michael Frazier stepped up. No, I don't look at those numbers and say, bloody hell, Bryce has gone off the ball. I look at those numbers and go, is there anyone else trying to do anything? Is there anyone else making shots? Is there anyone else making plays? Because there was just this great lack of offensive cohesion. Now, I don't want to compare Scott Morrison to Trevor Gleeson, but one thing we did have in the Gleeson era was they ran the flex offense. They ran options off that. If they wanted to get somebody a shot, they could do it. I felt in this offense, if you wanted to get a shot, you had to go and get it. You had to go and make it. Now, Brad, in terms of who's capable of doing that in that lineup, well, Bryce is probably, and Michael Frazier are probably the only couple that are capable of making their own shot. So their shot attempts are going to be up. But I just felt no one else put their hand up really on a consistent basis.
The biggest thing I noticed from this year to last year, Todd Blanchfield. The guy played 35 minutes. He just wasn't the same player. Mind you, he looks injured. Something's not right there. You know, you can see he's limping around. But he was a different player last year under that flex offense, like you talked.
Right, because you know where your shot's coming from. You're getting the down screen, you're coming up for your jump shot or your little one-handed dicky thing that he likes to throw.
Interesting off-season. All right, let's move on to the games, right? So we've now first off, how good was that game, Illawarra versus Sydney?
Yes. I wasn't shaping up that way. I didn't think.
No.
I thought they were going to dominate that, and then back comes Sydney. And again, you know, that I have that question mark over Illawarra in the end game. You know, they really worry me that they got a little bit hero ballish at times, where they've got the good balance of inside outside, size, speed, skill, athlete. They've got it all, but in those last 2 minutes, Tyler Harvey can decide, I'm just going to dribble.
Yeah, step back to the right, left-handed forced shot is what you're saying. Yeah.
Exactly. Where's Connor Henry when you need him?
Yeah. You over-dribbled. You didn't even get on and you over-dribbled.
So, yeah, you know, that scares me because – but the other thing is, and you might be able to bring us all up to speed, do you know the state of health of Jarrell Martin? Because he wasn't 100%. And Jalen Adams, because he wasn't even suited up.
Yeah, so Jarrell Martin – was obviously COVID and everything. Yes. He didn't look 100% right.
No,
he played
sure,
15
he
minutes as well. But what was interesting in the press conference is it was asked, did he not play because of that? And Chase Buford said no. So he obviously wasn't happy with the way he came into the game or something. I don't know what's going on there. But I think they are very, very happy. Even though they're on the road, they needed that extra few days. For them to play on Sunday and then they would have had to back up on a Wednesday semi-final at home, they're much happier to get that extra 2 days and go to Wollongong to get the extra 2 days for him. And I'm hearing he will be back, Jalen Adams. I'm hearing he will. But I just wonder because, you know, that's a week out, fluey. We saw what happened during the season when guys had COVID and came back. It took them 3 weeks.
Yes. Yes,
so there's some worrying times there for the Kings because Illawarra, they're humming. And you know Gorge is going to have them frothing at the mouth to win this game.
Yeah, but, you know, it's only like a week and a half ago that Sydney won there in overtime. So
yes, but with a healthy Jalen Adams.
That's true. Yeah. That's a really big factor, a huge factor. If he's not healthy, then Illawarra's going to win that series.
I'm just going to throw you a little dagger. There was a thing in the paper this week. Dory Kadani is now left Illawarra. I'm very worried.
Has he left? I thought he was just sort of stepped aside.
I
thought he was still part owner. He's not completely out.
Well, I believe he's not completely out, but it may be, is my mail. And I'm saying if I'm Illawarra, I'm very, very concerned Gorge won't be back. He's out of contract. And he is extremely close with Dory from the Ties Kings.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's some big things going on in Illawarra, but let's stay on the playoffs. I just thought I'd put that in there. That'll be interesting.
Just before we get, it is an interesting one. Before we get off that, Brad, where would Brian go? He's coaching, so he wants to be coaching. He'll want to coach.
Where does he go? So to me, I cannot see him going anywhere but Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. If you have the opportunity to get him, wouldn't you?
Yeah. So you know who really, if we were talking about a different time in terms of a different management, you know who'd grab him? Perth Wildcats.
Well, and there's the next one. Mate, let's be honest. Contracts mean crap, right? Let's go. Now, Gorge, as much as, you know, he could coach anywhere, a big program needs him. He needs a big program, right?
Yep.
So what's available? You got your Sydneys. Mate, Chase has got another 2 years. Unless something comes up in the NBA, can't see that happening. No way Dean Vickerman's going anywhere.
Oh, no.
Right? No, right? So then you've got, what's the next one? Perth and Southeast.
Yeah. Yes.
So, you could argue Brisbane if they, you know, like.
That's the other thing, Brad, that he likes a challenge. I mean, I know he went to Illawarra because of Dory, but nonetheless, you know, that challenge of that small town program or that small budget program, you know, look what he's done with it. He's got the semifinals 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
So, they're a good chance to win. You know what I think would be fabulous? I'm just going to put it out there. I think it would be fabulous if we had a grand final series between Illawarra Hawks and Tasmania.
You were going there.
You know, the big powerhouses, the big teams, bugger off. We want to see these guys go at it because
one of the best
we've ever had was Illawarra and Townsville. That was one of the best grand finals.
Mean when Illawarra won it with Brendan Joyce and Sam and all that? Amazing.
And they beat Robert Rose and Mike Kelly, and it was a hell of a good series. So anyway,
Pat Reedy and Andrew Goodwin that era.
Yep.
Yeah, I loved it. That was phenomenal, that series. You're right.
Anyway, let's move on. So Perth, Scott Morrison, some of the comments that he made leading into that weekend, I think were, for the benefit of people who haven't heard them, he says the stuff along the lines of, you know, well, if things don't work out, they can get rid of me and pay out the second year of my contract and I'll head home. Or, you know, words to that effect. And I think if I'm trying to get psyched up to be the Illawarra, and then Southeast Melbourne, that's not what I want to be reading or hearing.
Even
if that was taken out of context, I don't know if he was being sarcastic, whatever. Whatever context that's in, when you see that, you think, well, is he fully committed? You know, that's how you feel.
Well, I'm only going to go as a player here. Yes. Yeah, I wouldn't want to hear that. Now, I don't know, like, you know, I'm not up to date with all this NBA and, you know, how things happen in the NBA. Maybe that's just how it is in the NBA. You know, like you just say it the way it is. And you know, I get a feeling in the NBA, you can say whatever you want, but when you step on that court, it's irrelevant, in my opinion, it doesn't work like that here, right?
No, it doesn't.
In here, it's all teammateship and, you know, we're together and it's a bond and we're a fist and all that stuff, you know? So anyway, in other news, Nathan Sobey, probably not a shock, but re-signs with Brisbane. I think that's good for Brisbane. They needed to get that done. Let's hope he can get back healthy.
A lot of people were thinking that was going to be an Aaron Baines announcement, and I think Aaron Baines still is saying that he'd like to get back to the NBA, if he's still got NBA in him. So I think that's his first option.
A healthy Aaron Baines probably would get to the NBA. Who wouldn't take a 7-footer for a couple of minutes here and there and doing all of that? But, I'd love to see him in the NBA. I mean, NBL, that'd be phenomenal. Ariel Huck-Porty, I hope I'm saying that correctly. That, it didn't shock me, but I was like, that's interesting. He's already re-signed with Melbourne United for next year, which I think is fantastic. But I actually thought, wow, anything could happen with him. You know what I mean? He's had a good season. What did you think of that one?
I think that's showing amazing maturity on his part to not rush into the NBA or not rush, but think, you know what? This season really did me a lot of good. Mm. Another one like this where I'm maybe even more pertinent to the rotation than I am now, even more relevant. Yeah, I should be able to walk into the NBA. So I think it was a really mature decision, not to sort of just get dollar signs in your eyes and think, yeah, I'm heading to the NBA now.
Yeah, good call.
You know, I think he's made a good – yeah. I mean, we've seen that before. You saw that with Didi Luzzatto. He came back for a second stint, yeah. And what happened? You know, he got there. So, yeah, I think that's a huge move because you don't know what Joe Luol Okorie will do either.
Yeah.
Next season. He's come along in such a phenomenal way that –
Jeez, wouldn't that be hard if he moved on? Like you lose Jock Landale one bit,
yes.
And then JLA the next is like, God, you know, can someone give me a break? You know, like, oh, unbelievable. Hey, I did want to mention, and you mentioned this, Asli, just before we started. So our listeners, we had a chat here, and that video of Tasmania.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned it before. You were like, the first thing Bonnie says to me, Brad, did you see that video? How good was that? For anyone that hasn't watched it, get on social media and watch the Jack Jumpers. Obviously, you don't see the Perth game, but they're watching the Perth game, and you can visualize Bryce Cotton shooting it. It misses. They're like, is it over? Is it done? Are we in? And then they start jumping. It's great.
Yeah, and the one in the corner's got his hand and across his mouth. Yes. It's like, yeah. And you know what? They were really put through the ringer, Brad, because, I mean, not only did they have to wait on the result, but the result goes to overtime. So it's regulation, it's 90 all, they're still going. And then it's drama right to the very finish. So,
You know, I'm good mates with Jared Weeks, and he's got like a six-month-old baby. Apparently the baby cried for like 3 days after he apparently cried for 3 days because Weeks, he yelled out so loud. It was brilliant. Love it.
All right, well, let's get I'm going to give you a quick nudge nasty, and then you can give us a quick rose and rattle, and get out of here.
Yep.
All right, my nasty is about the New Zealand Breakers. I think what they've done for the past 2 years has been phenomenal in just staying engaged, coming to this country, basically spending 2 years on the road. I mean, I know they had a couple of home games late last season, but honestly, what they've done to preserve the integrity of the league has been fantastic. I think hats off to them. I think next year, every club should surrender. If all things are normal and COVID is no longer the big issue that it still is, every club should surrender one additional home game against the Breakers to the Breakers so that they get their whatever it is, 14 home games and an additional 7. I reckon that would be a fair thing to do. Quickly, a postscript as well. Really, really, really disappointed with the NBL in terms of how they handled the Breakers. They should have just set them up in Gold Coast, said, here, play out of the Gold Coast Convention Centre. There's a big New Zealand population up there that used to go to Gold Coast Blaze versus Breakers games. The crowd would be filled with New Zealanders. So there's a lot of expats up there. That would have given them a good home base, somewhere they could settle, somewhere they could enjoy too, because Gold Coast, you can't not enjoy the Gold Coast.
I wonder why they did put it. Could have that been the restrictions maybe in Gold Coast at the start of the season? In Brisbane,
being well, I mean, you had games in Brisbane, you had games in Cairns. I just think putting them in one place would have given them an opportunity to develop some sort of fan base. I mean, put them in Canberra. You want a team in Canberra in the future? Put them in Canberra for a season, or put them somewhere where you might have. I just thought the NBL handled them very much like a redheaded stepson. Is that the saying? I feel sorry for them, but I think that what they've done for the league has been absolutely phenomenal, and I don't think that should pass without mention. Tell me quickly your rose and rattler.
Yeah, that's interesting because my rose and rattler is actually for them, and that is the photo of Rob Lowe and Abercrombie getting home.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of, you know, you doing your one at your nasty and my rattler, and they're the same, but in a sense they're sort of similar. Right. The goosebumps that I got, just one photo, just seeing their arms around each other, that smile on their face for what they've given up and for what they've had to do to see them get home, that I thought that was brilliant. And, you know, and a hats off again to the New Zealand Breakers. Like you said, what an amazing 2 years they've had to do. And let's be honest, they've helped save this league by doing it. Otherwise, you know, it was crazy. So can I also just give a little shout out to my physio? As you know, Boddy, I played in a game for the first time and I played in a celebrity match. Can I just say the Premier Dom Perrottet, he was a legend, right?
Yeah,
Wickham was fantastic. Everyone stayed out of Kyrgios's way because he was going for 40. That guy,
he tried to
block Maria, the Miss Universe, right? So it was, and she's 4.
I wouldn't block her. I wouldn't be blocking her.
It's It was awesome, but I had a real good fun. It was great, and a lot of past players were down there at the Kings as well on that day, so it was good to catch up with everyone. Boddy, it's at last. We have the finals. It's been a long season. The pointy end's here. Two great series. Just give me one. Is it Melbourne, Sydney, Melbourne, Illawarra? Who you got in the grand final? I'm going, my heart says Melbourne, Sydney. My mind says Melbourne, Illawarra.
Jeez. And in no situation can you see Tasmania being there. You think that
I wouldn't say no, but I just can't. I just think Melbourne are too talented and have too much of. But that is, please take nothing away from Tasmania. They deserve everything.
Scott Roth will be telling his players, they threw that last game to us. They wanted to play us.
Yeah.
You know, careful what you wish for. Let's give it to him. He's got plenty of motivation, but you're right. There's a talent disparity. And because of that talent disparity, you would think Melbourne will win. And the experience, they will win. That will overcome the enthusiasm of the Tasmania Jet Jumpers. Sadly, because I think, you know, they've been a great story. And they've done, I don't think it's been done since 1982, Brad, when Geelong first came into the league as a new franchise and made it all the way to the final, made it all the way to the grand final, actually. Mm. I think this is the first time since then. So it would be fabulous. But, yeah, I'm seeing a Melbourne-Sydney final. I just – that is if Sydney's healthy. Otherwise, I'm happy enough to see a Melbourne-Illawarra series. They're all going to be good. Any combination,
I think that's where my gut says. I just worry. Jalen Adams, you know, he's been out, that flu. It just worries me. And look, please God, you know, as a Sydney guy, of course, I want him to get in there. So, but let's hope.
Wasn't your brother doing assisting Illawarra for a while? So are you really, have you got a foot in each camp or what?
Shmish, shmish, mosh. Yeah. Potato, oh, wow. Potato. Come shmish, on. Shmish, go to those Kings.
All right.
Have a good week, all. We'll see you next. Oh, can I also shout out, of course, Burger Boss.
Oh, yeah. Oh, whoa. Yes.
We love our Burger Boss. And, of course, thank you to Piranha Media. Guys, we're going to keep going through, and gals, we're going to keep going through the playoffs. We'll have a chat next week. Boddy, looking forward to wrapping it all up, and have a great week, mate.
Yeah, I will, but I'm really sorry that we're not going to see any more of Matt Hodgson or Brandon Ashley. Can't help myself.
Can I just say, Boddy, how good would have it been to be in Tasmania? And I'm surprised all the players went together, but that video, how good was that, mate? Was that just sheer joy to be in there?
And the drama of it, you know, just they're all just on tenterhooks staring at the screen, and then they jump up, and it's a fabulous moment. Loved it. Absolutely.
Brilliant. Yep.